The Quiet American by Graham Greene, dramatized for radio in three parts by Gregory Evans. Episode 3.
I wonder at times if Inspector Vigo ever realized how close he came to uncovering the truth about Pyle's murder. It wasn't merely a matter of clues and alibis, although they were certainly suggestive. It was more to do with feelings, states of mind, Vigo's weary sympathy, my own overwhelming desire to confess. That evening, 2 weeks after Pyle's death, I think Vigo knew. And before he closed the case, he decided to have one last try.
I'd like to drop in and see you tonight. Can?
Yeah. I'll send Fong to the cinema.
It's all right again with you and her?
Yes.
Strange. You seem unhappy.
You still suspect me, don't you? Of being involved.
I'd like to talk to you, Mr. Farrow. That's all.
But that came much later. Before that, before Pyle died, there were other lies, other deceptions. My own clumsy attempts to keep Fuong, at least for the few months I had left. I could hardly bear to think of leaving Indochina, the bleak future without Fuong. What saved me were the ordinary routine jobs, the day's telegrams, the bulletins of the Vietnam press, and the daily visits of my assistant, Dominguez.
But this story is a concoction of the Desiem Bureau. Mm. My sources tell me there's no truth in it.
Mm. Right. Is that all for today?
There is one more matter. I'd like you to meet a friend of mine. He has a story you should listen to.
Yes?
His name is Mr. Joe. He has a warehouse for junk metal on the Quai Mito in Chalon.
Quai Mito. Is this important?
It might be.
Well, can you give me an idea?
I'd rather you heard it from him. There is something strange, but I don't understand it. How much do you know of your friend Pyle?
Not much. Our tracks cross, that's all. I haven't seen him since the night of the watchtower.
What job does he do?
There are rumours, but officially he's with the economic mission.
That could mean anything.
I think he's promoting small industries here and I suppose American business at the same time.
I heard Mr. Pyle speaking the other day at a party at the legation. He was put on to brief visiting congressmen.
God help Congress. But he hasn't been in the country 6 months.
He talked about the old colonial powers, England and France, how they couldn't hope to win confidence in Indochina. That was where America came in, he said, with clean hands.
If you forget a few little incidents in Latin America.
Someone asked him some stock question about the chances of the government here ever beating the Viet Minh. He said a third force could do it.
Yes, he would.
There was always a third force to be found, free from communism and the taint of colonialism. National democracy, he called it. You had only to find a leader.
It's all in York Harding.
Who?
Pyle read it all before he came out here. He told me about it his first week. He's learned nothing.
Afterwards, I overheard him with one of the congressmen, talking of General Tay. Pyle may have found his leader.
If he had, would it matter?
I don't know. If he's really concerned with economics, probably not. But go and talk to my old friend on the Quai Mito.
The sun was setting as I drove into Cholon, Saigon's Chinese quarter. It was like a different city, where work seemed to be beginning rather than petering out with the day. I left the car in a street lined with long vertical Chinese signs and bright lights. Then I slipped down a darker street to the Quai Mito, where warehouses yawned in shadow. I found Joe's place almost by chance. The go-down gates were open and I could see the strange shapes of the junk pile in the light of a lamp. Bedsteads, bathtubs, ash cans, the bonnets of cars. I walked down a narrow track carved in this iron quarry.
Mr. Chow?
My name is Heng. I am Mr. Zhou's manager.
Ah, right. Actually, I want to speak to...
You are Mr. Fowler?
Yes, how did you know?
Monsieur Dominguez sent you.
Yes, to see Mr. Chow.
Mr. Chow is not well. It is the opium. He smokes more than 100 pipes a day.
I see. Well, I'll call again.
Wait, Mr. Fowler. Mm-hmm. Let us go down to the warehouse. It is quieter there. It was I who asked Mr. Chow to contact Monsieur Dominguez. Follow the torch. I wanted you to see this.
What about it?
It is empty now, but it once contained dialectin.
I'm sorry, Mr. Heiner, it means nothing to me.
I had two of these drums. They were picked up with other junk at the garage of Mr. Phan Van Mui. You know him?
I don't think so.
He is a friend of General Tay.
Look, I still don't see what this
Do
has got to...
Do you know what this is?
No, is it a bath fixture?
It is a mold. You know what I mean by a mold?
Of course, but I still don't follow.
This mold was made in the USA. Dialectin is an American trade name. You begin to understand?
Frankly, no.
There is a flaw in this mold. That is why it was with the junk. And it should not have been with the junk. Nor the drums, either. That was a mistake.
Was it? Was it indeed? Look, Mr. Heng, I don't really care for guessing games, you know. If there is a point to all this, will you please get to it?
There is a point. You must be patient. When Mr. Moy discovered what was missing, he came here personally. I gave him back the other drum. I said it was all I had. He told me he needed the drums for storing chemicals. He did not ask for the mold. That would have given too much away. Later, Mr. Moy called at the American legation and saw Mr. Pyle.
So you have an impressive intelligence service. You've established a connection between Pyle and General Tay. A very slender one. It's not news. Everyone here goes in for intelligence.
Mr. Fowler, you are English.
Yes.
You are neutral. I have read your dispatches. You have been fair to us all. You can sympathize if some of us feel strongly on whatever side.
If you're hinting you're communist or Viet Minh, don't worry. I'm not shocked. I have no politics.
If anything unpleasant happens here in Saigon, it will be blamed on us. My committee would like you to take a fair view. That is why you have been shown this and this.
Well, what is dialactum anyway? It sounds like condensed milk.
It is white, like milk. See?
Hmm.
There's a little still in the bottom.
Well, it looks more like talcum powder, actually.
It is one of the American plastics.
I heard a rumor that Pyle is importing plastic for toys.
This plastic is not for toys.
May I see the mold? Well, it would make, part of a rod. I can't see what it's for.
It does not matter. Not yet. I only want you to remember what you have seen. Perhaps one day you will have a reason for writing about it. But you must not say you saw the drum here.
Or the mold.
Particularly not the mold.
Thomas! Open up! Thomas!
Just a minute.
Mike! Come on, I know you're in there.
Oh, come in, both of you. Come on in.
I couldn't make you hear. Wong, let me in.
Well, I was sleeping. I didn't want to be disturbed. But now I am disturbed. Hola, tu trouves, hein?
Isidore. I was downstairs. I heard him knocking, so I ran up to let him in.
Sit down. Fong will make you coffee.
I don't want to sit down, and I don't want coffee.
Well, I must. This leg gets tired.
Jeez.
You got my letter?
I got it. I wish you hadn't written it.
Why?
Because it's a pack of lies. I trusted you, Thomas.
Oh, you shouldn't trust anyone where there's a woman in the case.
Then you needn't trust me after this. I'll sneak in here when you're out. I will write letters. I'm growing up, Thomas. Couldn't you have won without lying?
No. This is European duplicity.
We have to make up for our lack of supplies, you know. I must have been clumsy, though. How do you spot the lies?
It was your sister.
Oh, yes, it would be.
She works for Joe now. I saw her this morning. She knows you're going home.
Oh, that. Fuang knows that, too.
And the letter from your wife, does she know about that? Her sister's seen it. She reads English.
How does she see it, Fuang?
She came here to meet me when you were out yesterday. I showed it to her.
She even wrote some of it down. I don't believe in divorce. My religion forbids it. And so my answer is no.
God! Isn't there anyone in Saigon who doesn't read my bloody correspondence?
You can't fool her anymore.
I see. You knew this last night?
Yes.
I noticed you were quiet. Oh, what a fury you might have been. But you're Fuang. You're no fury.
I had to think.
Thomas, why?
Surely it's obvious. I want to keep her.
At any cost to her?
Of course.
That's not love.
May not be your way of love, but...
I want to protect her.
Well, I don't. She doesn't need protection. I want her around. I want her in my bed.
Against her will.
I wouldn't stay against her will.
I will make tea.
Listen, you should be grateful to me. And to Fuang's sister, of course. You can go ahead without scruples now. And you're very scrupulous, aren't you? When it doesn't come down to plastics. I hope to God you know what you're doing, Kyle. Oh, I suppose your motives are good. They always are.
I don't know what you mean.
I wish you had a few bad motives, and then you might understand more about human beings. That goes for your bloody country, too.
I want to give Fuang a decent life. This place, it smells.
Well, we keep the smell down with joysticks. I suppose you'll offer a deep freeze, her own car, and the newest TV set.
And children.
Bright young American citizens ready to testify.
What'll you give her? You weren't even going to take her home with you.
I'm not that cruel.
Oh, you'll just keep her here as a comfortable lay until you
leave? Pile. She's capable of deciding.
On faked evidence? Anyway, she's just a kid.
She's not. She's tougher than you'll ever be. Listen, you've said enough. Just get out.
Fuang.
Go, please.
Fuang. Monsieur Pai?
Fuang. He has cheated you. That lying bastard has sold you down the river.
Je ne comprends pas.
Oh, go away, Pyle. Go to your third force and York Harding and the role of democracy. Just go away and play with your plastics.
After that, I went through weeks of uncertainty. Every time I returned to our room on the Rue Cutinard, it was with the expectation of disaster. Sometimes Fuang would not be there, and I found it impossible to settle to work until she returned. Oh, thank God.
Thomas?
Oh, sorry, I was working and didn't hear you come in. Did you have a good time?
Oh, yes, very nice.
What'd you do?
Went to the cinema. There was a film about murder. A schoolteacher with a terrible husband.
Did you go to the Cutinard?
The one by the Majestic. Her husband was the headmaster of the school. He had a lover.
Who did you go with?
My sister.
Oh.
The lover was also a teacher in the school. And she and the headmaster decided to kill the wife, who had a very bad heart. So she pretended to be dead. So one night...
She was meeting Pyle. I was sure of it. I looked for evidence. But Fuang didn't change. She cooked for me, made my pipes, gently and sweetly laid out her body for my pleasure. But it was no longer a pleasure. Just as in the early days I wanted her mind, now I wanted to read her thoughts. But they were hidden away in a language I couldn't speak. It was at that time that the incident of the bicycles occurred.
Hello, Fuang.
Dominguez. I have a message from Mr. Hung.
Yes?
He asks you to be outside the big store on the Boulevard Charnay at 10:30 tomorrow morning. 10:30.
Why?
He didn't say.
No, he wouldn't.
I will be there too. Bring your camera.
Right.
Oh. It's almost 11. If something doesn't happen soon, I'm going.
Hung is reliable. Be patient.
Well, frankly, all this mystery irritates me. I understand that he needs to be discreet, but I don't... Hello.
Go, stand back!
What are they doing? Can you, it's no good. I can't see from here.
They are taking bicycles.
What? Good God! Let me through, please. Look, can you read? I've got to get through here.
Mr. Fowler!
Hang. What is this? Is this a joke?
No joke, Monsieur Fowler.
Well, what is it then? Some kind of practice?
Operation Bicyclette.
Look, if I'm to get pictures, I've got to get closer.
No, stay back. Is it 11 o'clock?
4 minutes past.
You're fast. You always are. Sleep!
It is 11.
What?
Why would they blow up bicycles?
I hope you were interested in this demonstration.
We must talk. Come and have a drink, Hank.
I must get back to Mr. Jones. But first, let me show you something. I have my own bicycle nearby.
What?
Look carefully.
It's a Rowley, so what?
Look at the pump. Does it remind you of anything? Good day, Mr. Fowler. Monsieur Dominguez.
I don't understand.
I think I'm beginning to. That mold at the warehouse, it was for a bicycle pump.
So?
So I think we might make a little investigation.
That day, all over Saigon, innocent bicycle pumps proved to be plastic bombs and blew up on the stroke of 11. It was all quite trivial. 10 explosions, 6 people slightly hurt, God knows how many bikes. The press knew they could only get space by making fun of it. Bicycle bombs. Made a good headline. All of them blamed the communists. I was the only one to write that the bombs were the work of General Tay, and my account was altered in the office. I sent a message of regret to Mr. Heng. I'd done my best. It seemed to me then that Heng or his Viet Minh committee were being unduly sensitive. No one held the affair seriously against the communists. If anything, it gave them the unprecedented reputation for a sense of humour. All the same, a few days later, Dominguez and I made our little investigation at Mr. Phan Van Voy's garage.
Deserted.
Yeah. Perhaps they're lying low in case the police call.
The surety won't come here. It is better for them to let people think the bombs were communist. Mr. Moy and his men are probably up in the mountains now with General T, awaiting further instructions.
All this junk is like Chow's warehouse. I can't imagine anyone here has ever thrown anything away, let alone something as important as drums in the mold.
Perhaps an employee was bribed by Mr. Hung.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm a bit vague about how you turn white dust into plastic bombs, but surely it couldn't be done here. Everything looks old and broken.
Here is Moy's office.
Ah. Just some glues, paper clips, a lot of broken pencils. Nothing.
The only thing in the filing cabinet is dirty teacups.
Hmm. So this is it.
What?
The third force. York Harding might theorise about it, Pyle might pontificate a visiting congressman, but when you come down to basics, this is it.
Aha!
What have you found?
A key. Now, all we need is a door. It's a press.
Is it? Looks like some sort of enormous birdcage with bars and perches. What, surely it should be in a museum.
We shall see. Stand back.
Yep.
Works! Look! There! White powder.
Okay, I've seen enough. Let's go home.
You should rest now. You're limping badly.
These stairs almost finished me off. Sit down, Dominguez. I'll ask Fuang to make us some tea. Fuang! Well, I'll write this up now, but there's nothing we can use. Not yet, anyway. Fong!
Well, perhaps she's gone out with her sister. She didn't mention it. Fong?
Monsieur Fowler?
No, she's not with her sister. She's taken all her things. I'm alone, Dominguez.
Tom, come on in.
Well, we don't often get a visit from you to our little outfit.
I didn't call it a
social
visit.
You know Miss High?
Yes, I know Miss High.
Hello, Mr. Fowler.
I call her Hi There. She likes it. None of this stuffy colonialism.
Where's the pile?
Alden's not in this morning. I guess he's at home. He does a lot of work at home.
I know what he does at home.
That boy's keen.
Well, at least I know one thing he does there anyway.
Sorry, I don't quite catch
up. He sleeps with my girl, your typist sister.
I don't know what you mean.
Ask her. She fixed it. Pyle's taken my girl.
Look here, Fowler. I thought you came here to discuss business. Now, we don't want scenes in this office.
I came to see Pyle. Where's he hiding?
You shouldn't make a crack like that. Not after all.
Save my life.
That boy's got guts.
I don't give a damn about his guts. There are other parts of his anatomy that are more apropos.
You watch your mouth, Fowler. There's a lady in the room.
This lady and I know each other. How much did he pay?
Fowler, you're behaving like...
Badly! I know! I'll go on behaving badly!
You better be going.
It's a bad situation!
We got a lot of work.
We can't have this sort of thing in the office.
In the corridor, there was a door marked Men. I went in, locked it, put my head against the cold wall, and cried. I hadn't cried until now. But even their lavatories are air-conditioned. And soon the temperate, tempered air dried my tears, as it dries the spit in your mouth and the seed in your body.
Yeah?
It's only me.
Oh, come on in, Dominguez. It's open.
Hello. Are you leaving?
Only for the north. I need a break from Saigon. Besides, if you write about war, you must sometimes share the risks.
You must take care, Monsieur Fowler.
Oh, don't worry. Hanoi only allows reporters on horizontal rays at the moment. Above machine gun range, little puffs of smoke far below when the bombs hit. Safe as a bus journey. I'm so worried, Dominguez. I phoned Captain Truong.
Good.
He'll look after me.
I fly a B-26 now. A prostitute.
A what?
Short wings. No visible means of support. This is a vertical raid, Thomas. You know that.
I thought that was forbidden.
Oh, it is. So you must not write of it, of course. And if you are killed, the press office will withdraw your accreditation.
Thanks.
It will interest you. It will show you a place near the Chinese border you have not seen before. Dien Bien Phu.
Oh, I understood it was all quiet there and in French hands.
Oh, it was. The Viet Minh took it 2 days ago. Our paratroopers are a few hours away. We must keep the Viet's heads down until we can recapture the post. It means low diving and machine gunning. Have you ever dive bombed before?
No.
When you are not used to it, it is a little uncomfortable.
We followed the Red River, climbing slowly to 9,000 feet. We reached our target, a village encircled by mountains and corkscrewed up into the dazzling air. Captain Truong turned to me and winked. On his wheel were the studs that controlled the gun and the bomb chamber. We came into position for the dive. I felt that loosening of the bowels that accompanies any new experience. Then, suddenly, down. All was feeling now. Nothing was sight. I was forced back. Great weight pressed to my chest. The bombs were released. The gun chattered. The cockpit stank of cordite. The weight came off my chest as we rose. And my stomach fell away, spiraling down into the smoking fire. For 40 seconds, Pyle had not existed. Even loneliness hadn't existed. Before the second dive, I felt fear. Of humiliation. Of vomiting over Truong's back. Fear that my heart would not stand the pressure. By the tenth dive, there was only irritation. The affair had gone on too long. It was time to go home. Finally, we turned from the mountains towards the river. We flattened out over the neglected rice fields and aimed like a bullet at one small sampan on the yellow stream. The cannon gave a single burst of tracer. The sampan blew apart in a shower of sparks. Then we climbed and made for home. There was something shocking in our sudden fortuitous choice of prey. We were passing, and we were gone again, adding our little quota to the world's dead.
Pipe pour mon ami, s'il te plaît, rien pour moi.
Oui, capitaine.
You will be my guest.
Oh, please, Henri.
I insist.
Well, thank you. But don't you smoke yourself? Hmm?
No, no. I like the smell of opium, the quiet of the fumerie, but I cannot smoke. My work forbids it. I need my sleep.
That sampan on the river.
Mm-hmm.
Was it doing any harm?
Who knows? In those reaches of the river, we have orders to shoot anything in sight.
Votre pipe, monsieur.
Merci.
You wish to smoke again?
D'accord.
Half French. Very beautiful.
Very.
What future is there for her if Vietnam falls? Today's affair. That is not the worst for someone like myself. They could have shot us down. Our risk was as great as theirs. What I detest is napalm bombing. From 1,000 meters in safety. You see the forest catch fire. The poor devils are burned alive. The flames drench them like water. I envy you your means of escape.
I'm not escaping from the war. It's not my concern. I'm not involved.
You will be. Someday, something will happen. You will take a side.
Not now. I'm going back to England.
That photograph you showed me once. The Vietnamese girl.
I told her. She left me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's the way things happen. You leave people yourself and then... It almost makes me believe in justice.
I do. The first time I dropped napalm, I thought, this is the village where I was born. That's where Monsieur Dubois lives, my father's old friend. My uncle is running down there in the flames I've thrown.
But you still go on.
Oh, those are napalm moods. The rest of the time I believe I am fighting for France. The Viet Minh do monstrous things also. When they were driven from Hanoi in 46, they committed atrocities on their own people. I saw one girl...
That's why I won't get involved.
It's not a matter of reason or justice. We get involved in a moment of emotion, and then we cannot get out. War and love. They've always been compared.
Notre pipe, monsieur?
Oui.
Take her home tonight. That is better than a pipe.
How do you know she'd come?
I've slept with her myself. 500 piastres.
Expensive?
I expect she would go for 3. But one does not care to bargain.
But Chuan's advice did not prove sound. I was frozen by memory. What my hands touched that night might be beautiful. But we're not trapped only by beauty.
I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. I don't know what's the matter with me.
Oh, don't worry. It often happens that way. It's the opium.
Yes, the opium.
For the first time, I returned to Saigon with no one to welcome me. At the airport, I wished I could direct my taxi to somewhere other than the Rue Katina.
Hello, Thomas.
How the hell did you get in?
I met Dominguez. He was bringing in your mail. I asked him to let me stay.
Oh. Did Fuang forget something?
No. Joe told me about your visit to the legation. I thought it'd be easier to talk here.
What about?
You've been away?
Yes, for a few days. And you?
Oh, I've been traveling around.
Mm-hmm. Playing with plastics?
Here's your letter.
Oh, thanks. How's Fuang?
Oh, she's fine. Wonderful.
Just sit down, Pyle. Excuse me while I look at this, will you? It's from my office.
Bad news?
No, I suppose it's good, actually. They've changed their minds, keeping me here for another year at least, in view of the confused situation in Indochina. Yeah, if you don't believe me.
No, I believe you.
Doesn't matter now anyway, does it? What chance does a year's reprieve stand against a marriage settlement? Are you married yet?
No. I'm hoping to get special leave, so we can get married at home, properly.
Is it more proper when it happens at home?
Well, it's difficult to say these things to you, Thomas. You're so darn cynical. But it's a mark of respect. My father, my mother would be there. Fuang had kind of entered the family. It's important in view of the past.
The past?
You know what I mean. I wouldn't want to leave her behind there with any stigma.
Would you leave her behind?
I guess so. My mom's a wonderful woman. She'd take Fuang around, introduce her, you know, kind of fit her in, help her get a home ready for me.
Teacher Canasta?
What?
Go easy with her, Pyle. Don't force things. She can be hurt like you or me.
Yeah, of course.
She looks so small and breakable and unlike our women, but don't think of her as an ornament.
It's funny, Thomas, how things work out. I've been dreading this talk. I thought you'd be tough.
Yes. I've had time to think up in the north. There was a woman there. Perhaps I saw what you saw at the whorehouse. It's good that Fuang went with you. One day I might have left her behind with someone like Granger, a piece of tail.
And we can stay friends, Thomas?
Yes, of course. Only I'd rather not see Fuang. There's enough of her around here as it is. I must find another flat when I've got time.
I am so glad, Thomas. I can't tell you how glad I am. I know I've said it before, but I really wish it hadn't been you.
I'm glad it's you, Pa.
Goodbye.
Pyle.
What is it?
Don't trust too much in York Harding.
York?
You're playing with fire, you know. This third force, it's out of a book, that's all. General Tay's a bandit with a few thousand men, not a national democracy.
I don't know what you mean, Thomas. With
bicycle bombs, they were a good joke, even though one man lost a foot. But you cannot trust men like Tay. They won't save the East from communism.
I thought you didn't take sides.
I don't. Pyle, go home with Fuang. Forget your third force, for God's sake.
The weeks moved on. Somehow I didn't find a new flat. It wasn't lack of time. The annual crisis of the war had passed. The French were out of Hua Bin, the rice campaign was over in Tonkin, and the opium campaign in Laos. Saigon seemed quiet. I still saw Dominguez every day, but more for the company than anything else. We started meeting at noon in a cafe in town. I chose one frequented mainly by Europeans and Americans because I knew Fuang would never come there. In fact, I knew exactly where she'd be at this time of day. She was a creature of habit. And so, walking from the Rue Catinat, I always crossed over the road to avoid the nearby milk bar where at midday Fuang had her chocolate malt. One day, as I drank my iced beer and waited for Dominguez, I listened idly to two American girls at the next table as they scooped up their ice cream.
Lucy, come on. Finish up now. We've got to go. Be on the safe side. Come on. You can come back later. Warren said we mustn't stay later than 12. There's some big panic. Well, didn't say what? Some kind of demonstration.
Monsieur Fowler, forgive me. I am late.
Ah, Dominguez, I forgive you. Mineral water?
Please. I have the report from the press conference.
Paula!
Mr. Mingus, where are you?
Not.
Well, I can't hear.
Your shirt.
It's grenadine, one of the bottles. God, what is this? Another joke with plastics? It must have been in the cafe.
No. Look at the smoke. It's the Place Gagné. This is no joke.
It must have been a car bomb. The whole car park's burning.
Oh, God. Monsieur Fowler. That man.
No, come on. Dominguez, there's absolutely nothing we can do for him. Come on.
Fuang. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. I've got to get through.
Why?
Fuang! Monsieur Fowler!
On passe pas.
Please let me pass. I have a friend.
Everyone has friend here. Venez, mon père, par ici.
Not you. I'm pressed. I've got my card. Well, at least tell me what's happening in the milk bar.
Stand back. You're blocking the stretchers.
Pile. Oh, for God's sake. Let me... What are you doing here?
Well, it
doesn't matter. I'm just glad to see you. Where's your legation pass, hmm? We've got to get across the square. Fuang's in the milk bar.
No, Thomas.
Well, she is. She always goes there at 12.
She isn't there, Thomas.
Jesus, it's your card.
I warned her not to go.
We've got to... Hmm? What do you mean, Warren?
I told her to keep away today.
Warren.
What?
Who's Warren? He warned those girls, too.
I don't understand.
Look.
Hey.
No hey. American casualties, huh? No one matters.
Stop pushing!
I want you to see, buddy boy. I want you to see what you've done.
But no.
See? That woman. That's what's left of her baby she's holding in her lap. That man. He was probably a trishaw driver. What's that? That is blood, boy. Have you ever seen blood before?
I must get my shoes clean before I see the minister.
Oh! You see what a drum of dialectin can do with your wrong hands? Go on, look around you.
Oh, no.
Midday, when the place is always full of women. Children! Oh, God, why choose this of all hours?
It was a parade. It was going to be a parade.
And you hoped to catch a few colonels. The parade was cancelled yesterday, Pyle.
I didn't know.
You didn't know. You ought to be better informed.
Well, I was out of town. They should have called it off.
And Mr. Fun, do you think General Tater loses his little show? This is better than a parade. Women and children and news. Soldiers aren't. This is front page stuff, Pyle. You put General Tay on the map now. You've got your third force of the national democracy all over your shoes. Just go home. Go home to Fuang. Tell her about your heroic deed. Tell her there are a few dozen less of her compatriots to worry about.
Tay wouldn't have done this.
What?
No, I am sure he wouldn't. Someone must have deceived him.
The communists.
Yes.
It was the communists.
Oh,
damn
communists, those bastards.
Brother! Take me away from here. Take me to Trolon. Kimi to.
A fortnight after Pyle's death, Inspector Vigo called on me at the Rue Cadenas, as he'd said he would. I had given Fuang money to take her sister to the cinema, so that she would be safely out of the way.
Voila.
Thanks.
I wish you'd tell me why you think I was involved in Pyle's death. Is it because of Fuang?
Oh, no. Her lover doesn't take his rival's book as a souvenir. Hmm? York Arding? May I?
Oh, yes.
The Roar of the West. Who is this York Arding?
He is the man you want, Vigo. He killed Pyle.
I'm afraid you must explain.
Yes, of course. He's a political theorist. He gets an idea, then alters every situation to fit it. York Arding
called here once for a week on the route to Tokyo. He came up with the idea of a third force. So Pyle formed one. A shoddy little bandit with 2,000 men and a couple of tame tigers. Pyle got involved.
You never get involved, do you?
Me? No, I try not to.
But this time you failed. Am I right?
You know, you'd have made a good priest, Viggo. There's something about you that would make it so easy to confess. If there were anything to confess to.
I don't ask for confessions.
But you receive them.
From time to time.
I suppose because, like a priest, you're never shocked. You sympathize. Monsieur Flick, I must explain why I battered in the old lady's skull. Yes, Gustav, take your time. And tell me everything.
Yeah, very whimsical, Father. Aren't you drinking?
Well, surely it's unwise for a criminal to drink with a police officer.
Are you a criminal? I've never called you that.
Suppose drink gave me the desire to confess? The police have no secrets of the confessional.
Secrecy is seldom important to a man who confesses. He has other motives.
To cleanse himself?
Not always. Sometimes it's to see himself clearly, as he is. Sometimes he's just weary of deception. You're not a criminal, Fallon. But I would like to know why you lied to me.
When?
Well, you told me you didn't see Pyle the night he died. That is a lie. Oh, may I have another small whiskey, please?
Yes.
I have been through Alibi. The American planes, the...
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. The cinema, the Vieux Moulin.
Yes. And?
Oh, it's wonderful how you carry such details in your head.
I told you, I'm a reporter.
And if the times are not right, who could blame you? 5 minutes there, 10 here. It would be more suspicious if you were accurate.
But haven't I been?
Not quite. Could I have a little more soda? This is a little strong.
Oh, sorry.
Well, you didn't kill Pyle. You told me so. I believe you.
So, what do you hope to prove by showing I was a few minutes out here and there?
It adds up. It gives a little space, a gap in time.
For what?
For Pyle to come and see you here.
I've got nothing to tell you, Viggo. Nothing at all.
Bon. Then I'll be going. I don't suppose I'll trouble you again.
I still had an hour to wait for Fuang to come back from the cinema. It was strange how disturbed I had been by Vigo's visit. Fuang's picture books were back on the shelf. She propped a telegram against them, some message from the London office. I was in no mood to open it. The opium pipes, the tea tray, everything was as it had been before Pyle came. Rooms don't change. Ornaments stand where you place them. Only the heart decays. Now that Viggo had gone, I wished I had the courage to call him back and say, you're right, I did see Pyle the night he died.
Mr. Heng, I've just come from the Place Garnier. The bomb.
I thought so.
You heard?
Someone phoned me. I was just leaving. The police will be very active today.
But you had nothing to do with it.
They must find the culprit.
It was Pyle again.
Yes.
Heng, it was just awful.
General Tay is not a very controlled character.
Who's Pyle's chief?
I have the impression that Mr. Pyle is very much his own master.
What is he, CIA?
The initial letters are not important.
What can I do, Heng? He must be stopped.
You can publish the truth. Or perhaps you cannot.
Oh, my paper's not interested in General Tay. They only want to know about your people.
Do you really want Pyle stopped, Mr. Fowler?
Heng, he stood there. He said it was all a sad mistake. That there should have been a parade. He said he'd have to get his shoes shined before he saw the minister.
You could go to the police. Tell them what you know.
But they wouldn't listen. They're not interested in Tay either. And they never touch an American. Agnes, I saw a woman there. The baby was just nothing. I mean, she covered it with a straw hat.
You must try to be calm, Mr. Fowler.
Yes, yes. But, I mean, what will you do next? How many dead children can you get out of a drum of dialecton?
Will you help us?
God, I wish your people had got him on the river from Fat Diem. Certainly would have saved a lot of lives.
I agree with you, Mr. Fowler. He must be restrained.
Yes.
I have a suggestion. You will invite him to dine with you tonight at the Vieux Moulin between 9 and 9.30. We could meet him. Talk.
He may be engaged tonight.
Ask him to call on you at 6.30. If he is able to have dinner with you, go to the window and close the blind.
Why the Vieux Moulin?
It is by the bridge to Dachau. I think we can find a spot there to talk, undisturbed. I promise you, Mr. Fowler, we will act as gently as the situation allows. Will you do this?
I don't know.
Sooner or later, one has to take sides.
Yes?
If one is to remain human.
Yes.
We're glad to get your note, Thomas. Thought you were mad at me.
Perhaps I was. Wasn't a pretty sight. Please sit down.
Look, you know so much now, it won't hurt to tell you a bit more. I saw General Tay this afternoon.
Here in Saigon? Suppose he came to see how his bomb worked.
That's in confidence, Thomas. Now, I can tell you, I dealt with him very severely.
Oh, you mean you've thrown him over?
I told him one more demonstration like that and we'd have no more to do with him.
But haven't you finished with him already? I mean, after today?
Oh, I can't. In the long run, he's the only hope we have. If he came to power with our help, we could rely on him.
How many people have to die before you realize that there's no such thing as gratitude in politics? God, I'm sounding like a leader writer already. What's the use in arguing? I'll never convince you. Can you have dinner with me tonight?
Yes. I'd love to, Thomas. I'm so glad you aren't mad at me anymore. I mean, I know you disagree with me. Well, we can still be friends, can't we?
I don't know. I don't think we can.
We stayed friends after Fuang, and she was much more important than this.
You really believe that, Pao?
Well, she's the most important thing there is to me, and to you too, Thomas.
Not to me. Not anymore.
No, it was a terrible shock today, Thomas. For me too. But in a week, you'll see, we'll have forgotten it. We're looking after the relatives.
We?
I wired Washington for permission to use some of our funds.
The Vieux Moulin, between 9 and 9.30.
Yeah, anywhere you like. You're looking for someone out there?
No. Just closing the blind.
Well, I've got some work to finish off at the legation. If we're meeting at 9, Thomas, I'm glad you asked me to dinner. I felt cut off from you ever since
Ever since
night...
you saved my life.
I didn't mean that. All the same, how we talked that night. I learned a lot about you, Thomas. I don't agree with you, but maybe for you it's right not being involved.
People become involved against their will. It can be a point of change, some moment of emotion.
Not for you. And I'm not likely to change either, except with death.
Not even after today? The carnage in the square, don't you think that might change a man's view?
They were casualties of war. It's a pity. But you can't always hit the target. Anyway, they died in the right cause. Look, I gotta go.
I'll come back here at 10. I mean, if you can't make dinner for some reason. I'll wait here for you, okay?
I went out and walked down to the riverfront, where they were unloading the American planes. The sun had gone, and they worked by the light of arc lamps. I saw a colleague, hailed him, and we talked for a while as we watched. Already I was creating my alibi. In the cinema nearby, Errol Flynn or Tyrone Power, I can never distinguish them in tights, swung on ropes and leapt from balconies and rode bareback into technicolor dawns. I left before the film was over and took a trishaw to the Vieux Moulin.
Monsieur Fowler, it is a pleasure to see you tonight. A table for one? Monsieur Fowler?
Oh, Anton, sorry. Yes, for one, please.
I will bring you the menu, Monsieur Fowler.
No, I'm in no hurry, Anton. Just, I'll order in a while. Just bring me a pastis, please.
Of course, one pastis.
Thank you.
I wanted to give Pyle time to come. So long as I didn't eat dinner, it was as though there was still hope. And then I wondered what I hoped for. Good luck to the CIA? Long life to car bombs and General Tay? Or did I of all people, hope for some kind of miracle? A method of persuasion arranged by Mr. Heng that wasn't simply death. I sat for 20 minutes over my pastis and then I ordered. It was 9:30. Pyle wouldn't come, no. Later, I found a trishaw and was peddled home. There was nobody there. And I sat and waited till midnight. Then, without hope, I went down to the street.
Did Inspector Vigo come to see you?
Yes. He left an hour ago. How was the film? Was it good?
It was very sad. Oh. But the colours were lovely. What did Vigo want?
Just ask me some questions.
What about?
This and that. I don't think he'll bother me again.
Are you ready to smoke?
Yes, I am.
They cut the girl's head off.
What a strange thing to do.
It was a French Revolution.
Oh. Historical, I see.
The girl's lover, he went back to his garret. He was miserable and wrote a song. And soon all the people who had cut off the head of his girl were singing his song. It was a Marseillaise.
Historical?
He stood at the edge of the crowd while they were singing, and he looked bitter. And then he smiled, and you knew he was thinking of her. I cried a lot. So did my sister.
Your sister? I don't believe it.
She is very sensitive. I like films with happy endings best.
Are you happy?
Of course.
You know, it's like it used to be a year ago, isn't it? Don't you think?
Yes.
When you go shopping tomorrow?
It's feast day.
Oh, yes, of course, I forgot.
You haven't opened your telegram.
Oh, I've forgotten that too. I don't really want to think about work tonight. Oh, I suppose you better get it, though. Thank God I don't have to go north tomorrow.
I want to be quiet with you.
Do you have to go?
It isn't work. It's from my wife. I'll read it to you. I've thought over your letter again.
Have thought over your letter again. Stop. I'm acting irrationally as you hoped. Stop. Have told my lawyer start divorce proceedings, grounds desertion. Stop. God bless you. Affectionately. Helen.
There's your happy ending.
But this is wonderful. I must go and tell my sister. She'll be so pleased. I'll say to her, do you know who I am? I am the second Mrs. Fowler.
Do you miss him much, Wong?
Who?
Pyle.
Can I go, please? My sister will be so excited.
There was so much you could have done together. He was young.
You are not old.
I'm sorry for Wong.
Why are you so sorry? It's a wonderful telegram.
I wish I could tell you why I was sorry, but I... Yes, go and tell your sister. Well, kiss me first.
In episode 3 of The Quiet American by Graham Greene, dramatized for radio in 3 parts by Gregory Evans, Ian Holm was Fowler, Adam Henderson Pyle, Philippe Giraudot Vigo, Sam Dastor Dominguez, Bert Kwok, Heng, Lucy Sheen, Fuang, Vincent Brimble, Joe, Marcia King, Miss High, Simon Treves, Truin, Tara Dominic, Métis, Nicholas Gilbrook, Patron, Marion Diamond, Helen. Vietnamese advisor, Mrs. Quy Phan. The Quiet American was directed by David Benedictus.